Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This special series was recorded live at the Market Council Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen in as we talk with leaders in our industry represented at this wonderful event. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We are again live at the Market Council Summit. Our guest right now is Mark Albers, who's the president and CEO of Kinetic Strategic Partners. And I am really excited about this because I know very, very little about what Kinetic is and what you do. So you're going to have a chance right at the beginning here to educate me. And you just defined the word kinetic before we started recording. So do you mind if we start there and you just unpack what all of that means?
Yeah, sure. That would be great. Yeah. Kinetic is energy through motion, which is a large part of what our business does. It helps financial advisors who are at the major wirehouses evaluate their options and try and figure out how they can, you know, take care of clients on their terms, you know, and, you know, staying at the big firms is not always the best thing, especially nowadays, given all the, you know, technology and regulations and all these things on people's minds. And so, yeah, we find that, you know, helping them figure it out often results in some motion, which sort of renews their energy. And it just was a great name, and it really, really fit well.
So breaking away from the shackles of being attached to a much larger organization and the freedom that moving to you or moving to an RAA gives, fair?
Yes.
What do you do for them? So do you help them through the transition? After the transition is done, what do you do?
Well, there are so many options nowadays, which is both fantastic and a burden because there are just so many options. So we actually start with the financial advisor, who we view as our client. We start with their clients and their relationships. And we perform a number of analysis on what they're doing for clients, what they're not doing that they wish they were doing, what they'd like to stop doing, and so on. And through that process of getting to really know them and their clients and what they'd like to do, and in many cases, educating them as to what's possible, that maybe is not even on their radar that they'd love to do for clients, help them figure out, okay, these are the options that most likely make sense. So starting off with really understanding what they're doing, and then also understanding, you know, how's this advisor wired? What's his family life like? What's his experiences? What is he comfortable, uncomfortable with? And you put it all together. And so it's a little bit of art and a little bit of science. Mm-hmm. And you put it all together and you explain to them how and why you came to these conclusions. And we love debate to a certain extent, is that we want to know, okay, did, you know, if what we're talking to our client about, they go, if they're not comfortable with, we want to know. We want to reach a mutual agreement. We want them to hear our opinion, but we also want to be respectful of their opinions and come together to figure out what they should do.
Okay, so you figure out what they should do, then what happens?
Well, then, you know, then the heavy lifting starts.
Of course, yeah.
As you were just saying, is that that's when we help them actually get ready to move. And so depending on who they've partnered with, so if they're going to be an RIA, maybe the custodian, or if they're going to join another RIA, the custodian and that firm. But we have right now 144 to-dos on our app. Not all of them apply, but what we do is we take from the custodian, from the firm, from all the other strategic partners that are going to be involved in this situation, and we input it in the app. And we drop it on everybody's cell phone and we build a schedule. We really treat it as a project.
Okay.
And so it's a, you know, project management type software. And we just start knocking through things and helping our clients negotiate terms in some cases. Other cases, we let them know that something is, you know, fair or unfair, or that they're being unreasonable, or that the potential firm is being unreasonable. So through it all, once we've helped somebody prepare for the move and execute the move, is that our clients have typically been within 12 months ahead of where they were when they left. Our transitions are really fast, and I think that our results are biased. And the reason why is because rather than a typical recruiting situation where someone is just hoping that you'll move from firm A to firm B, you can fog a mirror, so we're going to refer you over here. Good luck. And our results are biased because we are really going, you know, round peg, round hole. Well, of course it's going to fit great. So that's part of the benefit of doing it our way, I think, is that you end up with not just, you know, maybe an improvement on where you are, but you find, you know, if we hope, the best solution for you long term.
Okay. In your intake, what sort of things have you heard from advisors that have made them more successful than other advisors?
Well, part of our analysis and a lot of the questions that we ask have to do with growth.
Okay.
And we find that although advisors always tell us that they have some sort of growth plan, is that once we start to really dig down about what that growth plan is, we find that it's more of an accidental growth plan. Mm-hmm. Most advisors we talk to tell us they work by referrals, but they have no system for referrals. At the wirehouses, they spend a lot of money on infrastructure, you know, and part of that is these, you know, marketing people. Well, the marketing people at the big firms really are there to promote the brand, not the advisor. A best case is that they're promoting the local market. So we're here in Las Vegas. So if I'm at a big firm, my firm is promoting the Las Vegas market. That's nice, but how does that help me as an advisor? Not only that, but I mean, we've had clients that through the process, we've helped them establish their own YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people that have wanted to use LinkedIn or other digital media, which is very, very limited at many of the firms.
Oh, yeah.
So again, part of what we do is try and help them figure out, well, what is it that you're really doing marketing-wise, and is it real, which mm-hmm. in most cases it's not. Part two to that is, do you have the will or the skill to really do it? You have to have both. The skill we can find. The will is a whole other issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then last but not least is, you know, you've got at the big firms, you have all these things that you just simply haven't even thought of doing because you can't do them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I use the YouTube channel as an example. Yeah. One of our clients said, you know, all my clients are in their 50s. They're all tech business owners. They're with me because I don't index, because I have an actual opinion on the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I write. And when I write these, you know, these letters and submit them to compliance, I get them back eviscerated 30 days later, and they're not relevant.
Yeah.
I wish I had my own YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really driven by his clients. And our solution that we recommended to him was driven in part by that one piece. And he does have a really successful YouTube channel now.
Sure.
But, you know, if you like to be in front of the cameras and like to be on CNBC, it's not impossible mm-hmm. at the big firms, but it's impossible.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, so marketing wise, you know, and really, you know, growing your business and your brand, those are things that we talk to people about. Branding, we are by far not experts.
Okay.
But we understand the importance of having a brand, the right brand, mm-hmm. and everything from, you know, understanding what, you know, what the colors are, what the logo is, mm-hmm. having a consistent message about who you are. And so, you know, we're strong believers early on in developing a brand. We have an exercise that we call, you know, what business are you in?
Mm-hmm.
And it, part of that exercise, and I'll use Starbucks as an example, is a lot of people would say Starbucks is, you know, really in the coffee business. And I would argue that Starbucks is in the relationship business. You know, you've got all this eclectic mismatching furniture, you can charge your cell phone. You don't go to coffee with people you don't like. You go to coffee right. with friends,
mm-hmm.
right? You're friends with the barista. I mean, even the equipment that they have now is designed so that you can have eye contact with the barista. So, what business are you in as a financial advisor? And I think that, you know, for us, that's sort of fundamental to, you know, to helping people figure out, you know, what they should do. And then we can help people build around the branding and marketing pieces
okay.
if they really want to grow.
Well, we obviously at Top Advisor Marketing believe firmly in branding. Our founding partner, Kirk Lowe, has been doing brands for advisors like you're talking about. And especially when you break away and you lose that brand, right? You lose that brand recognition from the big wirehouses. It's so important to be able to curate and fabricate and make your own and something that you have that ownership in and that passion surrounding that you were never able to have before.
Well, absolutely. And I would, you know, I would argue that the advisor is the brand.
Mm-hmm.
even though they don't have their own logo necessarily, and they may be, beneath, these big wirehouse national brands, is that those are just the tools that they use. And the clients didn't just walk through the door of the wirehouses. They were brought in because they believed in that advisor.
Sure.
They most likely were referred to them or prospected or somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it really as formalizing your brand.
Okay.
Right. And that's where they need a lot of help is that, my clients know that I'm a financial markets guru. They know I'm a financial planner. They know I care about them and their families, whatever your it is about the business.
Mm-hmm.
But then to turn around and to formalize that brand and then to build a firm around it is absolutely critical. I mean, if you
sure.
build your brand around caring around people, it's even going to determine and influence who you hire,
mm-hmm.
how you staff, versus the person, the client who's with you because maybe you're like a markets guru. So maybe you'll hire some more analytical people and you'll be, you'll have a different flavor and you'll hire different people. So having an understanding of who you are and developing a brand, the right brand
mm-hmm.
that's consistent, I think that, firms like yours are absolutely critical at the beginning innings, to use
right.
a baseball analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to switch gears here because I think it's great for everybody to have a chance to understand what Kinetic Strategic Partners are. But now, I think it's also really important for people to feel a connection with you specifically. People really do like to do business with people they like and have things in common with. And as we were preparing for the podcast, you dropped like four or five things on our team sitting here. And I can't wait to uncover a few more of those. You had said that you're a dog person. Now, I want all of our listeners to understand that there are dog people. I'm a dog person, right? I have two dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a different level of dog person. Let's talk about that a little bit, Mark.
So, well, you've heard of the crazy cat lady. I am the crazy dog guy, I guess. So I live in Redondo Beach, California, which is a small beach town just 8 miles due south of LAX. So a fantastic place. I'm blessed to live there. And most people are around town, as I've walked my dogs over the last decade, know me as the husky guy.
Hmm.
Because I have, I'll walk anywhere between 4 and 8 Alaskan Klee-Kai, which look like a miniature husky. So full grown, these dogs are about the size of a 3-month-old husky puppy. So they're kind of forever puppies.
Hmm.
And so we used to breed these dogs and haven't done so for the last couple of years, but we have this kind of expertise, if you will. We've taken mm-hmm. a lot of courses, a lot of classes. We've done it very responsibly and take a lot of pride in our dogs and in the families, and we know where every one of our dogs are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a contract with the owners that if for the life of the dog they can't care for the dog, is that we get the dog back.
Wow.
And we've done that once. Actually, we bought a dog back. Someone was in financial trouble through no fault of her own. After she'd bought one of our puppies, so we bought the dog back 6 months later, and cared for him, rehomed the dog. So we used to do this, and we came across a stray 2 years ago. He was dying, and we just picked him up off the street, and he's just part of our pack now. So he's a Chihuahua mix, so he sticks out a little bit compared to the others. And as I was walking up here, my wife texted me is that we were asked by a local shelter to help out. They had somebody just dump on their doorstep a dog that was a puggle, I believe, that is pregnant and with 8 or 9 pups. And would we whelp these pups and foster them over the holidays?
Mm.
And so we're like, it's not convenient, but it's the right thing to do. And we have the right. We have the expertise in the space, and so we're gonna do that.
Wow.
So I love all dogs. Dogs, I tell people, are miracles with paws.
Yeah.
So,
amen to that, brother. I'm right there with you on that. Who's your hero?
I would say my dad. He's more my dad. He's someone I've always tried to emulate. He's always worked really hard. He's a good guy. You talk to anybody that he's worked with or volunteered with or whatever, And people just come to count on him and to rely on him. Mm. And he's always there and doesn't let people down. Mm. So, you know, there are a lot of, you know, famous people that are out there, I guess, that you could pick and say, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But I would say unequivocally, my dad is the first person who comes to my mind. And anyone who's listened to this, you know, if you've got kids, you know, just, you know, I always think about, you know, are my kids, will my kids answer the same way? And so I hope that they would. And I work hard to, you know, to at least be in the running.
Yeah.
You know, but.
I'm hoping to be in the running. That's right now I have teenagers. I'm not in the running. But at some point, I really hope that I am. Okay. If you had all the money in the world that you ever needed, money was never an issue for you, what would you do differently in your life?
Boy, that's a fantastic question. I think that that I would probably work hard to give it away. Mm. You know, is that there are so many. You know, I work hard now, and I earn a great living, and I love doing what I do. It gives me a great amount of joy and meaning. Mm-hmm. But I just see that there are so many people that don't either have the opportunity or that would need a helping hand. So I think that having all the money in the world, you'd have time to dedicate elsewhere. That's probably what I would do. Okay. Figure that out.
Who's your favorite person in history and why?
My favorite person in history, boy, oh boy, that is really a difficult question. You know, I would say, even though it's very recent history, is I would say General Colin Powell.
Wow. Why?
You know, and he's still alive, so this is very recent history.
Yeah, he is still kicking. Yeah.
So I've had the honor to meet him a few times. You know, just through this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. But why? First of all, you know, he came from less than nothing and has not only overcome adversity, but he's done it with class and with grace. You know, he's fair, he's strong. I mean, he's got so many personal character attributes. Mm-hmm. That you go, wow, I need to be a better person so I can be, you know, like him. And then you look at all the different roles that he's had in life and, you know, a life of public service, you know, in the Army, you know, but also beyond that, you know, as a statesman, and he's taken over jobs that, you know, you probably have said, that was not a great time to be doing this. And mm-hmm. he's done it anyways. Yeah. And he's done it well. And again, he's done it with great humility and great grace and great character. Yeah. Like I said, you know, he's truly you know, an inspirational kind of person. And if you've never read his book, you know, definitely worth it.
When you think of the word success, how do you define it?
Well, definitely not by money terms.
Good. Okay.
You know, and if you'd asked me when I was, I don't know, 25.
It might be a different answer.
It would be a totally different answer.
Sure.
You know, but success, I think, is living life on your terms.
Okay.
And being meaningful to other people. I think that is, you know, the mark of someone who's successful. So it has nothing to do with wealth or, you know, how big your house is. And it's funny because as I get older, is I find that less and less of that, you know, becomes important. And, you know, it almost sometimes becomes, the opposite, you know? So, but I think that, you know, people that know, like, and respect you and that count on you to add meaning to their lives, to me, that would be someone who's successful.
What is the one thing that you recommend most to people? So it can be a book, a TED Talk, a saying?
Well,
a podcast, wink, wink. sorry, I had to throw that in there, man.
Well, besides a certain podcast, you know, what I encourage people to do, it sounds a little bit strange, is to move.
Oh, that is the first time I've had that. Okay, tell me why.
So imagine old farm equipment out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You leave it there. What happens? It rusts over time.
Yeah.
It stops working. Imagine that same farm equipment. You use it every day. Even if you don't really maintain it all that well, it's going to work for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Through my life is that I've had the opportunity to travel when I was in the service and then just, you know, just personally on vacation and stuff. And I see a lot of older people who can't do stuff. Mm-hmm. They can't go visit these historic sites that they've always wanted to. They can't pick up their kids. They can't, or their grandkids. I mean, they can't do a lot of things because of their own mobility. Mm-hmm. And I think that regardless of your age, is that if you keep moving, is that you'll be able to live life on your terms. And, you know, and so that's my recommendation to people is to move.
Okay. What is one thing that people don't know about you that you'd be comfortable sharing on the podcast?
Well, I'm 55, which is not a shock considering all the gray. But I am an Olympic weightlifter is my hobby, which is kind of a strange sport. It's not, you know, it's not something you turn on ESPN and you see on a regular basis. So most people are a little bit surprised that I do that as a hobby. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Elaborate. What, I mean, there are different events within weightlifting. I mean, what?
Well, there are two Olympic lifts.
Okay.
Well, actually, I guess three, if you want to be technical about it, but there is the, you know, if you've seen the Olympics, you've seen the snatch.
Sure. Absolutely.
And the clean and the jerk.
Okay.
So
you do both.
Yeah, I do both. Yes. I practice three times a week. I have a coach. Yeah. And it they look so simple and they are so unbelievably, difficult from a physical and from a mental perspective. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's really challenging. It's a very interesting and eclectic community. I love all the people that I lift with. They're an extended family. And I also do CrossFit the other 3 days a week and rest one day. And love my CrossFit family as well. So those two things kind of go well together.
Okay. What is your mantra? So when you find yourself straying from your path, what is your hard reset button? Do you have a phrase or a passage or something that you say to reset yourself?
Not really. I would say that in order to reset is that I'm more of a try and go and meditate type person.
Okay.
Is that you have to get away to clear my thoughts. I often, you know, when you get sort of wrapped up in the day-to-day, I think that it's, and you're in a rut, I think that it's really helpful to reflect on how lucky you are. And so I try and reflect on everything that's good, and then it puts into perspective everything that recently has happened that seems to be bad. And sometimes it's just a question of, you know what, there's a lot of good going on around me, and I'm focused on this. Other times it can be, you know what, I just needed to hit a reset so I can attack this problem with renewed energy. But I find that just, I won't say meditating, but having time just to be quiet and, okay. and be thinking.
What's your proudest achievement?
You know, my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my kids are all as normal as kids can be, in spite of or despite me. But no, my kids are all happy. Mm. They're all, you know, financially for kids doing okay. And the greatest joy, I think, of any parent is to see their children happy. And so my kids are, and
awesome.
I'd say that's probably the best thing that's going on in my life. And, you know, I'm very blessed to be, you know, married to an incredible woman. She puts up with me, tolerates me, keeps me on the straight and narrows, and picks me up and dusts me off when I need it to. So, and then we have a crazy dog house as we started the podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, dogs really are a blessing. And, you know, like I said earlier, they're miracles with paws.
Yeah. And, all right. Well, so we have a pretty nice, robust listenership here. If somebody feels like they've connected with you, number one, who should reach out to you at Kinetic? And what is the best way for them to do that?
Okay, well, most of our clients come from either Morgan Stanley Merrill Lynch or UBS. We do have some other clients that come to us from the independent world that are contemplating, you know, should I make a change in my business? You know, what are the pros and the cons? So anyone who's got that question on their mind, they could certainly reach out. We do, you know, we'll talk to people for a couple hours back and forth to decide if we're the right fit for them and vice versa. Oftentimes we'll just, for those that don't need our help, we'll point them in the right direction.
Nice.
You know, and hopefully they can get started there. So, and you know, our website or email is probably the best way, Kinetic SP for kineticstrategicpartners.com. You know, when we first launched our firm, I am not a creative person, so I had named the firm after after our family name. So they can also do albers-consulting.com.
Okay.
One or the other will get you there, and that's easy.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, just click that subscribe now button below. And if you are or know somebody who's involved with any of those organizations and is really looking to make a transition, make sure that you reach out to kineticsp.com and go ahead and reach out to Mark and his team. Find out a little bit more about what you can do to have the practice you've always wanted. For Kinetic and for everybody at Iris and Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Haller, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.